From the great halls of their house, there are assembled three who hope to one day be the world's greatest driving heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe comes our team captain, the Vision, Bill Fisher. Their soon-to-be Wonder Woman, Vicky Fisher. Our Captain Marvel and head flight trainee, Jennifer Scripchuk. And our Batman, the master of tools, gadgets, and all things mechanical, our mild-mannered soon-to-be billionaire, Alan Danvers. Their mission, to fight injustice, share what is right and wrong, to get you out of your house and come out racing with them, and serve all mankind. They are the Garage Heroes in Training Team.
Welcome to the Garage Heroes in Training Podcast. I'm going to be one of the hosts for this episode. My name is Bill. Who else is hosting?
It's Vicky.
It is. And she's semi-awake.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
This is like two in a row. You feeling okay?
Yes. I was just mentioning that, before we hopped on, that today was a garage day and it was hot. It was so hot.
Summer has hit northeastern Pennsylvania.
It has, but we got a lot done, so that was good.
Good. We'll talk about that another time. Anyway, Vicky, we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
He is the current title holder for the most reschedules, yet successfully getting it set up.
Nice.
We have one more person who's got many more reschedules, like 2x has yet to come on. So right now
you are
the record holder. It's okay. We've rescheduled it too, so it's not really all his fault. Anyway, he is the proprietor of Conover Motorsports. I believe his first car was a 2003 VW GTI. Rumors to the contrary may exist. He's had his comp license since 2016 from Roebling School, which we have yet to get to. And we know him from his involvement with Grassroots Racers and Autosports Labs with some of their telemetry systems, which is where we got two of them from him. And the interesting thing was, I don't know if even Cameron knows this, when he first called me about this, it was actually, we were just arriving in Killington trying to grab tacos from the taco place for our ski trip. And that's when I boogied outside. And that's when we started talking about telemetry, as I'm sitting in a ski chalet town trying to figure out how to race a car in some months from there. But it was an interesting day. I guess we should end the introduction at some point today, or otherwise we could just have an intro podcast. But whatever.
What was that with that tongue? Your tongue got stuck to the roof.
I know. I had way too much watermelon before. But anyway, welcome to the podcast, Cameron Conover. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We could have a new record for my longest babbling intro. But anyway. So did I leave anything out? Is there something else people want to know about you, sir?
Well, I don't know. I've been working in the racing industry for about 20 years now, in some form or another. And I've done kind of all of it, from all the way from grassroots and club racing and working for beer and pizza back in the day, all the way up to pro racing, and even been on top of a pit box at the Daytona 500. So I've kind of got a lot of experience in all kinds of different areas in motorsports. So I don't know, but my favorite part of racing is grassroots racing, amateur club racing stuff is the most fun. And that's where I like to spend my time if I can.
Well, we agree. Basically, we have a great time and we're not good enough to be any better. So that's where we're going to stay for quite a while. But with some of your help, we may actually get better. And who knows? we'll be at a better level of grassroots racing. But so you've been doing the racing thing for quite a while. You started off with your racing, I guess, before your racing license. Do you want to get a little bit into how you got to where we're at right now?
Sure. Some of my buddies from college kind of got into motorsports. And the first thing we got into actually was performance rally. Back in the day, we did SCCA. I think they called it SCCA Pro Rally, but it was pretty amateur back then. And we raced a Mark One Volkswagen Rabbit, and I think it was called Group Two G2 two-wheel drive, naturally aspirated little Volkswagen Rabbit. And we did rally for about a year and a half or so, until that kind of dried up, and I ended up getting into club racing and improved touring world and stuff. I met a guy named Kirk Nestis, and we built some race cars together and started doing endurance racing with that ITB car back when it was SCCA endurance racing before the new SCCA endurance racing. That was all like regional level club racing enduros. So the VIR 13 hour and 12 hours at Summit Point and Nelson Ledge's longest day 24 hour race and all that stuff back in the early 2000s. So that's kind of where I started, and then ended up getting sucked deeper and deeper into the motorsports hole and ended up all over the place. But
awesome.
So I mean, where did you see all this going? Are you still continuing? Do you still have aspirations?
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing recently a lot of sprint racing with SCCA, and then SCCA brought back the endurance racing stuff, and I've gotten kind of hoping to rekindle some of that stuff we used to do back in the day, because it was a lot of fun, and actually some of the same guys from those teams from the early 2000s are back, and we're kind of getting back into the endurance thing again. So I have a 2008 Volkswagen Rabbit, which has a 5-cylinder 2.5 liter in it. And that's our main endurance race car. We're running an SCCA E3. And so I'm just kind of following that trail and having fun. Hopefully the SCCA endurance series will start growing a lot more, and we'll have some fun. We just did the very first SCCA endurance race at Nelson Ledges, I guess about 2 months ago, and that was pretty good time.
How'd that go? How do you like the event, the schedule and the structure and everything?
It was really good. So the normal SCCA experience sometimes can be very maybe bureaucratic. I'm not sure exactly how to put it.
We go with stuffy.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe. but this was a much, much different deal. There were even the tech shed and everything was just like super laid back and very, very easygoing. They had a lot of hospitality for us there. Great socials in the evenings, and the schedule was good. We did 2 8-hour races. You know, one each day, Saturday and Sunday. There was a test day on Friday. There was not a whole lot of cars at this race because I think, you know, it was the very first one in the series is trying to get started and get things going. So I think we started the weekend with only 11 cars on the entry list. But it was very interesting. And everybody that was there is already talking about doing the next one. And so I don't know. It was a good time. My team, we actually kind of had a little bit of struggles ourselves. Friday, we had one of the guys got in a little over his head in the kink at Nelson and ended up having an off and bending up a lot of sheet metal and a couple of suspension parts and things like that. And so Friday was one of those trial by fire days, you know, where you go in and you have to make lemonade. So that's what we did. And Saturday was the, you know, the beginning of the race on Saturday. Everything was cool. We were doing well, having fun. And I think it was maybe about 3 hours in, or maybe it wasn't even that long. It might've been 2 hours in. The transmission stopped shifting. I was actually working on that transmission today, so I can tell you all about what happened if you want. But we pulled into the paddock, and I had a spare used transmission that I just had in a pile, and we grabbed the used spare transmission and put it in the car, and I had it up on jack stands going through the gears, and I got to fifth gear, and it was really horrible noises. And it was the only transmission we had, so I just decided to take fifth gear out, and we ran it with four gears for the rest of the weekend. And so Saturday we were down a bunch of laps, but we did get a finish. And then on Sunday we ended up first in class at the end of the day. So the weekend turned around. It turned out to be a pretty good weekend. And 320 laps on Sunday was pretty good day.
So fifth gear is just for show then.
Well,
yeah,
it turned out that we really didn't need it at Nelson with the gearing. The transmission I had just like a 3.6 final drive, which is, you know, pretty tall gear. And we didn't need fifth at Nelson with that final drive ratio anyway. So, yeah, just
wow. Didn't need it.
So we've got a conflict, or else we'd be at the VIR SCCA Duro. But you plan on going out to that one? That's pretty close.
Yeah, for sure. We're on entry list already, and that transmission is getting rebuilt, and all the body work sheet metal is already fixed and things, and we're on the way to making it. So we'll be there for sure.
Why don't we learn how to take fifth gear out?
Well, I mean, fifth gear takes out everything in our transmission.
That's right. So. It does.
It's got the number written on the knob, but the number on our knob has a big X through it. And
don't use it.
Right.
In very bright Sharpie. And we replace that Sharpie mark every time.
That's right.
Nice. I believe it's made of glass, but that's just us. Anyway. So, as part of your way that you've been able to stay in Conover Motorsports and being related to working for 20 plus years in motorsports, which is rare, you have a workshop that does race car prep and build?
Yeah. So I have a shop here near Greensboro, North Carolina, and I do.
Now you hurt me. My family's from Greensboro.
Oh, really?
I have no excuse not to go find you now. Damn it. Cool.
Yeah, I like Greensboro. It's a nice town to be in, I think. But yeah, it's just me there. I'm focusing mostly on Volkswagen stuff. That's kind of my wheelhouse, but I do some other things too. And I'm working on a lot more getting into telemetry and data and doing like reverse engineering of CAN bus stuff to suck more data out of these modern cars, and trying to kind of edge towards that way for work rather than complete ground up builds, which I've done a ton of those over the years, but they're just so intense. And if you try to do a ground up build for a customer just by yourself, it's hard to maintain other customers. So just because it takes up so much of your time.
Especially right now with supply chain stuff going on.
Yeah, it is definitely. So
yeah. Well, we'll still come by. We'll figure something out. There's got to be a reason for us to get down there and see some things. But I guess the reason that we did bring you on was especially to go over the race capture systems that we have and you guys have now. I think we've got a Pro Track and a Mark II. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So I have them here. I know that on the podcast they can't see them, but the new hardware, this is Race Capture Track Mark II. Mark II. No, wait. No, this is the... Good gracious.
You should talk to somebody who sells these things.
It's like, seriously, the iterations are getting confusing, but
yes, the Mark III, the Mark II, the Pro Track.
So the big updates that on all the hardware now is the new connectors. So it's called M8 style connector. So it's more like a motorsports grade connector, where before everything had RJ45s and Molexes and stuff like that. These are much more hardened motorsports grade type stuff. And the Race Capture Track has now a GNSS system in it. So that is not only GPS, but also GLONASS and Galileo, all the GPS systems globally, it can track at the same time. So instead of having a lock on 8 or 10 satellites, you have 20 satellites. So it really improves accuracy. Awesome. So that's the big upgrade with the track. And then Podium Connect is in Mark II. This is Mark II. That's Mark III. Track Mark III. Podium Connect Mark II. And we're going to have Race Capture Pro Mark IV coming.
Lots of marks here.
Yeah.
So the simpler one, the kind of the entry level to the family, is the Pro Track, right?
Yeah, it's just called Race Capture Track. Yep.
Okay.
And that the reason that it's entry level is because it doesn't have analog inputs on it. It has just two CAN buses.
Mm-hmm.
So it connects over OBD or CAN and GPS, and of course accelerometers inside, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. So it's a pretty capable box, especially if you have a more modern car where you're going to get most of your data from CAN bus. If you're right. running a Mega Squirt or at some aftermarket ECU where you have a huge amount of CAN data coming in, this could be really effective in getting pretty much everything you need with just CAN bus. So it's entry level, but also in the right application, it can do anything you want it to do pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also expand if you did need analog inputs. We have what's called Analog X, which connects over CAN and gives you 4 analog inputs.
Okay. Vicky wants to ask a question, but she doesn't know what to ask. You've said about 14 things. She's like, who's this CAN guy?
That's right. My techno Amish is showing. That's so,
right. So CAN is a controller area network.
Okay.
And that is in cars from 2008 to newer.
Okay.
It's basically USB for your car. So all the little computers in your car connect over CAN, and that's where the data flows. And it's a really fast serial connection. So that's probably not completely accurate. Somebody's probably going to complain if I say serial, but
we're close.
Yeah,
it's baby steps here. We're doing it with no right. visuals. We're going
right.
So OBD2 from 2008 and newer is over CAN bus.
Mm-hmm.
So you can connect straight up to the CAN bus and get generic OBD2 data.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a vehicle with either aftermarket ECU or something that someone has reverse engineered, there's a whole lot of cars in the Race Capture app preset that have been reverse engineered. I did the Mark 5 Volkswagen, and we actually just finished up doing Mark 7 GTI, where we take the car in the shop and go through and exercise it a little bit. So spin the right front wheel until you find the data in the CAN stream, and then figure out what this hexadecimal number means and write a formula for it so that it goes into your data. And then you move around and do left front, right front, rear wheels, and then do the accelerator pedal and the steering angle and all that stuff until you build kind of a data set that gives you everything. And the really nice thing about doing it that way with traditional data systems, like when I got started in this stuff, we had to have sensors for the engine control computer and then a whole nother set of sensors for the data system. So right. if you had, you know, all the coolant temp sensor for the ECU right next to it, we would have a coolant temp sensor for the data, and on and on and on. So over CAN, the nice thing is all the ECU sensors can be used for the data system, and it really simplifies wiring. And it's also very fast. CAN has a huge fast sampling rate. So it's very, very convenient and very, very effective if it's available in that vehicle. The other nice thing about CAN, I mean, I'm kind of excited about CAN. I guess you can probably tell.
Yeah, I could tell. It's good. It's good.
We can tell.
See? Yeah. The other nice thing is you can put accessories on CAN. So Race Capture, all the units have 2 different CAN buses. So you can use CAN bus 1 for all the OEM stuff and collecting all that data. And then you can put accessories, other sensors or displays or something else on the other CAN bus, CAN bus 2. So a shift light. Or we have Tire X infrared tire temperature sensors. You put those on CAN bus 2, and you can get a whole nother set of stream of data into the into the data recorder, doing it that way. So CAN is really fun. I've gotten big into it over the last few years, and it's fun.
So the race capture basically kind of shows you how to tweak your car. I mean, in the areas that could probably best.
Well, it's a data system, so it kind of, you get out of it what you want to, sort of. It has accelerometers. You can use it for driver analysis, driver coaching, and things like that. It has all the analysis in the app. One of the biggest benefits for people that are doing endurance racing is the live telemetry features. So that is great. Sit in the pit on pit lane. When I was at Nelson Ledges, I had a computer screen and just everything right up on the screen, and I could sit and watch and make sure that nothing's going bad with the car, so the driver can drive the car, and I can, if I see coolant temp rise up, I can monitor that myself and let them know on the radio, or shoot them a text message via the app. So
You could do that. Text through the app.
Yeah, we have pit to car messaging now, so pretty handy.
So obviously, I mean, there's a screen that you're watching on the race capture. Is it similar like the Garmin that we use, Bill?
No.
What'd you say?
Well, you can have a screen in the car, and you can also have the screen in the pit, and they don't have to be the same either.
Okay. All right.
So, or you actually, I think, and Cameron, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't actually have to have a screen in the car to capture your data.
You don't, if you have a cellular enabled device like the Podium Connect or Race Capture Pro with cellular built in, you don't need a dash screen. If you're using something like Race Capture Track or Race Capture Pro without cellular, in order to stream telemetry, you need to be running the app. So you might as well use it as a dash.
Sure.
But yeah, you don't have to necessarily have one, but
why not?
The dash display is pretty handy. You can do all kinds of alerts with it and make your display as simple or as complex as you want. And the predictive timing is pretty awesome. So,
and in case the radios have issues, you have a backup way to talk.
Yep, for sure.
So, okay.
Fun stuff there. So the part that we've had Brent on before.
I'm looking at it now.
And the part that I was, and there's lots of little pieces of it, but the part that was really the first time I had seen it available for somebody like a grassroots person to have access to was the TireX system. Yep. It seems like it's kind of, if it's not the first, it's very early. And if it's not the only, there's not a lot of them out there, alternatives. Can we kind of get into that one just a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So TireX, I kind of mentioned it before when we were talking about CAN.
Yeah.
Is a CAN enabled infrared tire temperature sensor. Mm-hmm. And you can buy an individual sensor or you can buy a kit, and it is very high resolution, so it can have up to 16 channels across the face of a tire. I typically use 4 channels across the face of a tire because I don't know what to do with 16 channels of tire temperature data for each tire.
More is better, Cameron. Always. More is better.
Well, yes, it's definitely. But you can also use it as a thermal imaging camera too. So I've actually had got contacted by an OEM manufacturer who was doing some testing on a cooler, and they used a TireX to thermal image the cooler that they were trying to test to actually get the thermal data from it during their testing. So
not just tires.
Yeah. It's pretty useful if you have other things that you want to keep an eye on, but it is great for tires. It's over CAN, so it's very simple to install. It's all plug and play, and pretty handy.
So, So Vicky, why would you care about your tire temperature across your tires?
Because it affects the amount of air that's in the tires and the tire balance.
Well, Well, not really the amount of air. The air doesn't.
Well, the air expands.
The pressure. Yeah.
There's definitely a relationship. Yeah. So.
Yeah, which therefore affects the amount of balance that you have and the amount of traction that you have on the.
Mm-hmm. So imagine if you will, you have a tire and you've got a temperature disparity across the face of the tire.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can use that to indicate a change or potential change in the alignment of the tires or the car. Mm-hmm. Or the setup of the car and mm-hmm. various other things. And you can actually, with this system, you can monitor it as the car is rolling, as opposed to what we've done in the past, where we do a tire pyrometer or tire thermocouples, and you have to run around like a little crazy person and get like the points. You can actually do it while the car is rolling around on the track, which, you know, we haven't talked to anybody. I don't know, Cameron, give us a hint if there's a way to get somebody to go out there with a tire pyrometer and give me the temperatures while the car is rolling by. I haven't talked to anybody into it yet. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely not.
No, it doesn't work.
So yeah. from the techno Amish person, that would be me. Yeah. Not too terrible, but I do have my tendencies. Easily overwhelmed by something like this, very easily overwhelmed, but find it very, very valuable. The installation of something like this, is there assistance to go search for that?
So TireX, for as far as
for the system itself, I think she's basically doing everything.
Like if I have this system now, it's like, now what do I do? Like, where do I go for information to install it? I mean, it's not like I'm not handy. But I mean, are there videos that we can watch? Is there more instruction to understand
the kind of the default user manual is the Autosport Labs wiki.
Okay.
That has a bunch of information, but mm-hmm. it doesn't end there. There's also Autosport Labs Discord channel
mm-hmm.
where people hang out all the time and you can get help there. And then also the Autosport Labs Facebook page.
Right.
That there's a bunch of activity there. There are some YouTube videos. I know Brent has some on his Autosport Labs channel. I've done a few YouTube videos about Autosport Labs products. And so you can kind of find stuff online as on YouTube as well.
Yeah, really, when we did it, it really wasn't that hard. I think we have a system that's no longer sold.
Race Capture Pro Mark III.
We do, but then we also have the one that's just like a little, I'm going to use the word dongle. I'm not sure it's a dongle, but it's basically just a little, you know, like, deck of cards size, and that's it.
The track or track mark two. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they were fun. We've used both. We enjoy both. And the part of this is also the podium mm-hmm. aspect to it. Is that?
Yes. So that can be a little bit confusing. There's Podium Connect, which is hardware, and that is basically a telemetry modem. If you already have a system in your vehicle like AEM or Motec data system already there,
mm-hmm.
Podium Connect would connect with that over CAN, and you can stream all your data into Podium Connect, and then that's a modem to send your information up to Podium, which is the cloud-based telemetry side of things. So there's two ways to do that. One way is podium.live, which is a website. So if you go to a race and you're streaming all your data and you want to send, Uncle Sal in Kansas City wants to see your oil pressure, you can send him a link to podium.live on the website and he can see your data there, lap times and whatever is up there. And then there's a Podium app. So a little bit separate from the Race Capture app is Podium app, and that is where you would build your dashboard for the pit side.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, technically Uncle Sal could look at that too, but unless he's gonna go in and bring all your channels in and build a dashboard, he's probably gonna enjoy the website better. But on the Podium app, your data will stream there and all your channels automatically populate, your time, live timing, everything comes in, and then you can just kind of set your telemetry display up for the pit side the way that you want it to be.
So how would you recommend setting something like that up for endurance racing?
Well, you want critical channels to be easy to see. Mm-hmm. And so things like oil pressure, charging voltage or battery voltage, coolant temperature, all that stuff, you want it to be like right somewhere easy to see where you can glance at it and have kind of a nominal idea that everything's in good shape. I kind of tend to put as much stuff on one page as I can, which can be overwhelming. But if you're sitting down in the pits at, in front of a screen in an endurance race where the car is going to be on track for 2 hours at a time, you have time to look over all that stuff instead of scrolling back and forth to different pages. But yeah, it's kind of personal preference, but definitely keep your critical channels in an easy to reference place on the screen.
What about the in-car interface? What do you recommend on that side?
You know, there's a lot of different ideas about that. So a lot of drivers want to see lap timer. I've actually worked with teams before that really don't want their drivers to look at lap time. So they actually delete the timing page because they
That's good.
want the drivers to pay attention to driving and not compete with each other and see who gets the fastest lap. And actually for an endurance situation, that's good. I think that's better. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you stop paying so close attention to exactly how many tenths you are this way or that way, you start focusing on driving, you accidentally go faster, you know? So
It's a weird idea. You know, when you focus on your driving, you go faster.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, even some people, when they're out there pushing so hard, if you're on the radio with them, you actually say, hey, okay, we need to save fuel, back down a little bit. And they start backing down and then end up going faster because mm-hmm. they're not overdriving the car. So
and their tire rack temperatures go down and everything goes down. Yep, so much. So exactly. Lovely. Could you just thinking while we're talking, so this question could be absolutely idiotic, but could you use the Tyrex on the brakes?
You could if you have a good view, like if you had a strut, you could mount it on the strut and aim it at the back of a brake rotor or something like that.
You need an angle, right?
Depends. You definitely could. There's, you know, a lot of the pro cars, prototypes and GT cars and stuff have an IR sensor that shoots the brake rotor. So it's not a stupid question at all.
The thing we found, and we just started using it, so we have barely begun collecting data. We found these little stickers that you put on the caliper, and they're like thermocouple ish probes, and they reflect what the temperature of the brake is. And we used it for one race so far, so our data point is one, so N of one is useless, but we're going to try to use it as a monitoring to see if things change or if something we do changes the brake temperature.
And, are you putting those on the caliper, I guess?
On the caliper, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an indirect measurement, but it's relative.
So is this device, is it downloadable to your phone? Is it something that you can Bluetooth in to get data out of, or is pretty much on a computer monitor that you start reading your data?
You can definitely run it on a phone or a tablet. The Podium app will install on anything, literally Windows, Android, Amazon tablet. What is the other one?
iPhone.
Yeah, those things. And
we felt that when we first got it, because we were before times.
Yeah. They're definitely on iPhone. There's a little bit of challenge with writing apps for Apple products that they're, I guess their vetting process mm-hmm. is a little more involved. So it takes a little bit longer to push out updates and things like that. But, the all the apps are there on in the Play Store, I guess, or whatever they call it. iTunes. What do they call that thing?
App Store, I think it is now.
App Store.
It changes about every year.
I'm guessing he's not an iPhone guy.
not a big fan. No.
Well, I just don't have much experience at all. You know, I got excited the first Droid that came out and whatever that was in 2002 and got on that train and stayed there. So
yeah, I think that's usually how it works.
Most people pick one and stay there. Yeah. So as far as the race capture goes, as far as the different systems go, as far as the use of the podium, would somebody call you up and say, hey, you know, I'm sitting in a ski resort, but I'm thinking about telemetry and my family's not happy with me right now, but you know, that's okay. And you could walk them through what they need to get and what their goals are and help them mash that together.
For sure. Yeah. I take care of customers on the phone all the time. I really prefer email because a lot of times it's easier to share information, you know, exactly what, but if somebody needs a phone call, I'm happy to do that. Do it all the time. So absolutely. Yeah,
did it for us and we were quite happy with it. And unfortunately we only got to use it for half a race. What do you think? Half a race, Miss Vicky?
Which race was it that we were using it?
Charlotte.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, we, yeah.
Half a race.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Was that a bad day?
It was a bad day. We're really looking forward to hooking it up again because we want to see just how many G's we hit the wall with, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Charlotte can do that. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's not a lot of forgiveness with Charlotte.
No. The Roval made our car into a Roval, but
It's fine.
Good. We're good. We'll do it again. Fine. That's right. Ballparky numbers to start using a race capture system would be if people are trying to budget for this year or next year, or you know, Father's Day, you know, Labor Day, you know, whatever.
Well, okay. So
that's what you're getting, right?
Race capture track Mark III is the entry level type one we talked about that just has CAN bus and doesn't have analog inputs.
Uh-huh.
Those are starting around 450. So that would be kind of your entry level point. The race capture pro, the Mark III that we had is now discontinued. We're waiting for Mark IV to come out, which is just a new iteration with the new GPS.
Come on, Mark, get going here.
Connectors, yes. So that one will be probably a little bit more. And then if you want the onboard telemetry, it's about another $150.
Okay.
So $750 to $800 or so for the Pro. Podium Connect, which is just the telemetry side of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It also does have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth built in, so you could run a dash display off of it if you wanted to.
Okay.
Podium Connect starts at $649.
So. Okay. All right. And, you know, as usual, if our listeners call in and give the code G-HIT, they get absolutely nothing for it, but you get to laugh at them, right? Is that true?
Yeah.
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 We do try to have
it's okay.
Specials every year around the holidays. So we always try to do a sale every year.
Right. Well,
the holiday season.
Well, let us know. We'll let everybody know. We try to help people, you know, with anything we can that helps them save money. And, you know, that's always good. So what would the difference be in capability between the first level and the second level, I guess?
So Race Capture Pro has analog inputs.
Uh-huh.
So 8 analog inputs where you can put sensors directly into Race Capture Pro. It has 5-volt reference output. It has GPIO channels, which can, you know, like ground something to activate it. You could switch LEDs or a relay or all kinds of things with GPIO channels. It has 4 timer inputs. So you can, if you wanted to wire in your own wheel speed sensors, you could do that, or RPM channels or anything like that. And then 2 CAN buses. What am I forgetting? I think that's probably about it.
Mm-hmm.
The accelerometers and everything. So if you step up to the Pro Mark III or Mark IV, it will be you're getting the extra analog input. So it's more like a real traditional data acquisition system where you can wire your own sensors in alongside of the CAN bus.
Okay.
And OBD2 as well.
So. All right. So Cameron, hardest question of the night.
Okay.
For our listeners who know they want this, but have no idea what any of those words you just said are. What can we do for them? What do you think?
It's like a Pictionary game or something. You gotta
pretty much, yeah.
Draw the words. Sounds like horse. I don't know. yeah. It's, so the
because if they don't understand what you're saying, it just automatically it's impossible. They'll never be able to do it. It's to, you know,
make it really simple as I can. The race capture track is going to be more, it's the name even kind of implies it's more of a entry level slash track day type thing. And if you have a modern car with a modern electronics and OBD2, especially something 2008 or newer, mm-hmm. race capture track will be able to get data for you.
Okay.
If you have an old carbureted car with no computer and you want to add sensors to it and maybe add wideband for air fuel or whatever like that, it's not going to have OBD or CAN to hook up to. Mm-hmm. You need to add in sensors. You'll need to race capture Pro Mark 3 or Mark 4.
Okay. And rough level of difficulty and time to install the different systems?
That has greatly improved in the new generations because now everything is plug and play. So the new connector standard that came out in all these new generations goes along with plug and play sensors that we have. So you can buy, if you need a pressure sensor, you can buy a pressure sensor and the right wiring harness and plug it right in. Mm-hmm. And all the presets, so all the sensors, even sensors for other systems and other manufacturers' sensors, we have all that stuff preset in apps in the app. So when you go in the race capture app, instead of having to figure out, okay, it's 150 PSI pressure sensor, what's the formula to get the data into the data? You know, it's a preset now. So you just go in, find that sensor and you say, okay, this analog input number one is a pressure sensor, hit the preset and write it to the device and you're done. So, as far as difficulty level, it has dropped significantly just recently with the new wiring standard. So
right. And you don't have to start with every sensor, every data channel, everything all at once. You can kind of get in and add as you need or add as you want, and you don't have to, you know, eat the elephant one bite at a time kind of thing.
For sure. And that's one of the kind of the cool things about the CAN bus system. And if you started out with the race capture track entry level and you decided that you wanted to add analog sensors, you can CAN bus in an analog X or, you know, all kinds of different things you can just plug right in and build the system over CAN. So that's a nice feature also.
Okay. So for our listeners who may not be the most technical, but they have a relatively new car, I think 2009-ish, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah.
It's similar in difficulty to kind of hooking up a PC with peripherals and things like that. It's not too much difficult.
I mean, I like kind of the way that the wiring is now, it's very similar to USB cable. It has the power and ground.
And okay.
The data wires in the cable. So you plug it in. Especially the CAN bus ones, you plug them in, the power's there, everything's there. The analog sensor channels are the same way. Power and ground is there, signal is there. So it's very similar to modern PC with USB cables and things like that. It's pretty easy, yeah.
Okay. So it got even easier than we did it. And if we could do it, then just about anybody can do it because, you know, you got the Techno Amish over there and I'm no better. So, okay, very cool. That's awesome. Anything new coming? Anything we need to know about?
Well, I think the new things on the horizon, the one big thing is video in the app. So,
oh, wow.
The ability to sync video with the data in the app is right over the horizon, if not sooner than that. So that should be pretty soon. All the new hardware is fresh and brand new. One thing a lot of people have been dying for maybe the last 2 years or so is the shift light. Mm-hmm. We have Shift X3, which was sort of stalled in production, or not stalled, but not being produced for a couple of years, and now it's coming back. So that'll be back soon. So everybody that's dying for a shift light can order one in probably 2 or 3 weeks. So that'll be cool.
That would be good. COVID has been a mess, so we understand.
Yeah.
Vicky, you feel like you got it now? All right.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a hands-on learner, so if I have the devices and everything in front of me and then walk through, then I could probably understand it better, or watch a video, or
that's what I was going to say.
Ask questions.
Or if you get in a tight spot, give me a call and I'll help you.
Yeah.
I was going to say we need to go to the hangar after we hang up, and if I show her this stuff, she'll be like, "Oh, that's what you guys are talking about."
Yeah, running sensors and stuff. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun actually hooking one up.
It will be. I'm still dying to know how hard Jenna hit the wall, but that's just me.
Was it turn one, or?
It was exiting the Roval onto the backside.
It was the second to last turn. Before you exit, there's kind of like a little divot that is on the turn. And we think she had a tank slapper, or she might have lifted and like lost the back end, or applied the brakes and it got light.
We have great video. You want to see? I'm just kidding.
Jeez. Yeah. But she ended up breaking two ribs I think she hit the rear. I don't know if the front hit first, but then she spun and hit the rear. When we sold the car, we realized that when they were trying to see if they could pull parts off, they said the only part that wasn't damaged was the gas cap.
Wow.
Yeah, they said it was pretty bad. But yeah, that was our Deadpool car.
We're still waiting for it to regenerate, but you know.
Yeah, it's not working. It's not working. No, it's very, parts very off.
Long lead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Cameron, if people want to learn more learn about if they already have a system, or if they're looking to get a system, can they contact you in some way to, you know?
For sure. Good place to start is my website, raceconover.com. My contact info is there, and you can shoot me an email, or there's even a contact form request on the website. So, good place.
And it'll be in the episode notes. So if you're driving while listening, you don't have to, remember anything. Just click back on there. It'll be there. You'll find him. Cameron will be there when you need him.
That's right.
That's right. We've talked at weird days and weird times, and we finally got to talk on the podcast, Cameron. It happened. It did.
Yeah. It was quite the thing there for a while.
It seemed like the world was plotting against us, sir.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it was great having you on. Miss Vicky, you feeling motivated? You ready to go
hook some stuff up? All right. I am ready to hook some stuff up.
All right. Very well. Cool. Sounds like we've got some work to do. We've got a track day in 5 days. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know if she's that ready. We'll see, Cameron. Thank you, sir. Hope you had a good time on the podcast.
Thanks. You too.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
We did it.
We're here.
It's going to happen. Who knew?
Yep.
You haven't got the record for the most times we've rescheduled, but you have the record for the longest time that we've actually successfully gotten to do it.
So nice.
There's one guy who started before you and is still not here. So he's fantastic. He's got like 15 reschedules. So you were like four. No big deal.
Cool.
Vicky's logging in, and then we'll be good to go.
Sounds good.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
So, Miss Vicky.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember when we were watching those WRL events and some of those Grid Life events where you used to see the in-car video and it had like the cameras seeing front and back, but it also could see all the telemetry and everything that was going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the ones that we liked were taken by the Sentinel system. Remember James came on our podcast earlier?
Right.
You know, we have no excuse since he lent us one for trial and demonstration purposes. We should actually probably put that in one of our cars. Maybe two.
I really think we should.
I think we should.
I know.
Because then we'd look like the immature endurance racing team that we are. Oh, wait, I mispronounced that, didn't I? Sorry, my bad.
What does the Sentinel system do?
We could have three cameras with picture in picture. We could have, if we ever get the AIM system to work, open invitation to anybody from AIM to come on and give us a little bit of love. We need some help. And then we could have all our telemetry on there. And then we can have it streamed live into the paddock or around the world to our millions of fans. We're apparently very popular in Kenya right now. Don't know why, but that's fine. And it can integrate all the available race statistics from like Race Hero and everything. So we could actually see how we're doing on video. We wouldn't even have to carry around our phone anymore. Live.
I love it.